At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay, cool. So today, topic of discussion is value of playing games versus not. And with, you know, some of the guys that are normally on this call not being available today, it's good to have Chris Vopinick back and then Hank Sprinkle, who's going, I think that we all kind of have aligned in these ideas. I also think that, you know, different perspectives matter here as well. So, you know, Hank, just a quick introduction for Hank. Actually, Hank, you give your introduction, if you don't mind.
What am I introducing? Well, my name is Hank Sprinkle. I have four kids. One of them still plays baseball for the White Sox. My other daughter, she's a college coach at OCC, was an All-American at Concordia, but I've been coaching for over 30 years, college, high school, travel ball. I've been a head varsity baseball coach. I've been an assistant college coach. I've been a head JV freshman coach. And I've been in travel ball for 20 years or so, and I'm active in doing personal training for strength and conditioning and also baseball training with players. And I'm also a teacher. I've been teaching for over 30 years as well at the high school level primarily. So, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's a little tacky that I didn't do the introduction for you, but I think it was good for you to do that yourself. And everybody, you know, I think that listens to this already knows Chris for the most part. We've been doing this for a few weeks now. Actually gotten some decent feedback on these, you know, what were meetings that kind of turned into, hey, let's record this and see what kind of content we can create. And then just said, screw it. We're just going to put this on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and see if we get some listenership. I'm not even sure if that's a real word, but
I think it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought I made it up.
I've heard Joe Rogan say it, so.
yeah, definitely not him. But yeah, I thought I just made that up. But great minds, I guess, think alike. But yeah, so topic of the day, right? Value of playing games, especially, you know, I think as developing players, there's been, I think, a narrative out there the last, I don't know, 10 years or so that, you know, guys shouldn't be playing as many games. For a number of reasons, I think there's an argument to be made for that side that, you know, makes sense. But I think for me, I think playing games is a very important part of player development. So kind of want to get your take on that. You know, maybe start with Chris and then swing around to Hank, and then I'll give my two cents.
I mean, yeah, I think it's a balance with everything. I think the physical side and the training side super important. But there's some stuff that you just can't replicate in a facility, game-wise with the game of baseball. There's so many little nuances that help guys be successful. I think that's part of the reason why you see in this game more so than maybe basketball or football, where it's, you have these tiny little guys that can go out there and dominate guys, or guys that maybe are less talented, go and stick around with either successful college careers or even years in the big leagues, because of maybe some things they pick up in game, and they're able to get to certain places in certain areas that help teams win. And so I think you only develop some of those tools and assets from playing in games. I think the hitting side of things, you can train as much as you want in a facility, but to pick up release points and spin out of the hand and the window there where you know what you're going on. I mean, you can try to do it with machines the best you can, but it's not going to be seeing a live arm like you're going to in a game. Yeah, I mean, I think it's like anything else. It's just the balance of doing both. I think you do all the training as much as you can, and then that's to help see where you're at in the game, almost like the game's the test. And then you go back and you train some more, you study whatever term you want to use, and then you do it all over again until you continuously just kind of make yourself better, get the most out of yourself that you can.
What do you think, Hank?
Well, I think that the one thing that Chris talked about, I don't know what the term is I would use, but it's almost the pressure of playing the game. Like, you know, it's like you versus a scrimmage and a tournament, an important tournament. The whole, like, the weight of expectation or the weight of you having to perform, I think that in itself is very beneficial for the player, because just doing a training, doing a practice, doing a scrimmage, there's not that, like, you don't have that pressure of performing. And I think the thing about games that are significant, the significant aspect of games is that you play knowing that, hey, I got to perform, because some guys, they can't handle that. And it's a lot different than when you play in a game of significance. It's a lot different than just, you know, going to a scrimmage or a practice or taking BP or whatever it may be. So I think from that aspect, I think games are very important, because some kids, they don't, you know, it's like, I mean, maybe an analogy would be kids that play rec, because I'm around younger kids too. Kids that play rec, they play great, but then as soon as they start playing with in a travel situation or where it's more difficult, they kind of fold, even though the competition isn't harder, but in their minds, this is more important. And to be able to handle that difference, that mentality, I think that's a good thing about games. But I also think that it's like, you know, yesterday's doubleheader, for example, there's guys, we're playing games, they're getting their reps in, but they're not fielding a backhand right, or they're not working on their double play flip correctly, or, you know, like Adonis, I'm telling him, hey, listen, you're fast. The third baseman's playing back. I want you to drag bunt. No offense to him, but dude, he looked terrible trying to drag bunt. Like, it was ugly. So obviously he needs to develop that part of his game so that when he does play, it's a lot better. But, I mean, I think games are important. I think that you use the game as a tool to see what you need to work on. Like Chris said, kind of, you know, like, so Adonis, I would leave that game as a coach and I'd say, okay, well, here's the things that you didn't do well, and we need to develop that part of your game so that when you do play a game, you're even better. So I guess they go hand in hand, but I think the importance of playing games, that whole, like, that feeling of you have to perform, I think it's important to play games because you become comfortable playing with that pressure.
Yeah. I think for me, it's a little bit more basic than that too. I think is where my belief comes from is, you know, you play a game, you start playing baseball because you enjoy it, right, as a kid. Hey, you're trying to enter again. Are you trying to enter from another?
Yeah, but I'm using my computer, dude.
So, okay, am I letting Hank 2.0 come in too?
No, I'm just going to just stay with the phone. Is the phone working out okay? Yeah,
it works perfectly.
Okay.
Okay. But I think it's more about how do we get kids to enjoy coming to the field to play a game, whether it's a game like a doubleheader that we're coaching in yesterday, or the inter squad or tournament play, and just play the game to have fun. And you know, we've seen, I think over the years, we've seen guys like take that approach and get a lot better really fast, you know, because they really enjoy being out there. They really enjoy coming out and embracing that process leading up to, you know, the first pitch, whatever that may be, which for us is, you know, like pepper, stretch, catch, you know, maybe some fungos, things like that. But, you know, the fun that comes along with that, especially when you get to, you know, compete against another, you know, another team with your friends and all that stuff. And then, you know, obviously we try to implement coaching and instruction and all that along the way. But, you know, letting them absorb all that while still, you know, coming out and having fun playing the game, because at the end of the day, right, what's the purpose of, you know, doing all this training, you know, going, yeah. You know, what's the purpose of doing all that stuff if you never get to actually enjoy the fruits of your labor, right? So, because then it becomes, especially when you think about, you know, in baseball too, like there's this, I'm trying to think of the word, but it's like the, that I don't want to call it a narrative, but it's like longevity, like that topic of longevity, like how do you stay in this game longer? You know, arm health, all that stuff, right? How do you stay in the game longer, healthy? Well, yeah, I guess one way to do it is not playing the games, you know, like that's one way to do it is, but I mean, what I feel is most important along the way, and injuries are going to happen, right? One way or another, right? Obviously we want to tie in arm health and arm care and all that stuff to make sure that, you know, and good healthy habits, right? And to make sure that guys have that opportunity for longevity. But what's the point of longevity if you don't even get to engage in the game that you, you know, grew up playing with your friends at the end of the day, you know? So that's my take on this, right? You know,
I think something that you're saying, I think is super important. And I think one, as coaches, what we got to do is we got to instill in the kids, because baseball is a game of failure, right? So it's no fun when you're always failing. So if we can wrap, you know, if we can gift wrap some of these things that they're doing as like wins, or, hey, listen, yeah, you didn't get a hit, but man, you like hit that ball hard the other way. It was a good swing. Or, hey, yeah, you didn't make that play. But, you know, I kind of learned this from Checkus going to watch Jordan play and talking to him. You know, he talks about wins. You know, like there's wins in so many things other than getting a hit or winning the baseball game as a pitcher, whatever it may be. But there's so many wins. I think that adds to the fun of the game. If the kids don't feel like they're having wins and they're having success in the non-typical way, I feel like they definitely don't feel like they're having fun. So it's important that we emphasize these other things as wins and positives, even though they may not say win the baseball game or they didn't strike the hitter out or they didn't get a hit or whatever it may be. But if we can wrap that up in that way, I think kids will definitely have more fun.
I agree. Well, and that's the, you know, that's the learning environment that, you know, we try to create. Circling back a little bit, right? Like what, you know, if you don't get to play these games, right? If you don't get to learn and be a part of this process, you know, and, you know, Chris and I had a little bit of a conversation prior to this call, but, you know, how frustrating is it getting a guy onto campus, Chris, like where he can be, you know, like he has physical ability. Like you see these like good, like they're showcase players. So, you know, their exit velos are, you know, off the charts. They're, you know, they can throw the hell out of the baseball, like a run well, you know, and then they show up and it looks like they've never played a game in their life. You know, how frustrating is it, you know, seeing that kid and then trying to teach the basics, you know?
Yeah, it's tough, and you're never going to get a consistent product with that guy because he's so far behind at this level. And it's tough to win games like that. You get into college, and obviously not too much, not as much at the junior college level, but the four-year level, you're paid to win games. And so guys like that are detrimental because they look big and shiny and look like they can do it. And one week they'll be the best player on the planet. And the next game, they'll run you into three outs on the bases and throw the ball somewhere they shouldn't have or try to do something they shouldn't have and cost you a series. And so it's just, again, it's a balance of all that stuff's obviously super important, but you have to be able to know how to play the game. And the only way to do that is by getting out there and playing. And like, hey, too, just like the level of competing in this that goes with it too, and learning how to be successful in that environment and handle that type of pressure you can't simulate in inner squads or in a facility or whatever else environment you want to try to create it. But you just got to get out there and play and learn from really screwing up. And
the instincts, Yeah,
and that's something we have the advantage of being able to provide, right? It's pretty much year-round baseball, right? Compared to in Southern California, compared to most other places in this country where they don't really have that choice and they have to, you know, stay indoors for 4 or 5 months out of the year. And we don't, you know, fortunately here, you know, we get pretty decent weather where, you know, when the temperature gets somewhere in the 50s, you know, we start complaining about it's too cold to play, but obviously,
yeah,
you know, we can still get out there. So, yeah. And I mean, just being a part of like the professional game, the college game, high school game, you know, at one point or another. It's seeing, like, as a player myself, right? I don't know if I would have had the opportunity to do any of those things if I didn't get a ton of games in as a kid. Didn't get a ton of games. Because one thing that I was able to bring to the table was those instincts that you were talking about. My skill set, my talent level wasn't through the roof, right? That developed later for me. I would venture to say going into my 20s, which, you know, most kids that they don't even get the opportunity to play baseball at 20 years old because they tend to, their careers tend to fizzle by then. If you think statistically, how many kids get to move on to college baseball after high school? But you only are able to develop those instincts and intangibles through experience on the field in competition, right? And through trial and error, getting thrown out over and over and over again, trying to steal second base, but then trying to, you know, figure out how to be safe the next time, right? Or reading ball in the dirt and how to be safe the next time. Yeah, you're going to get thrown out, right? Trying to learn and going through that process is really, really hard as a coach to have players go through, because you're like, shoot, man, we're just going to keep running these kids in the outs. But okay, let's say we're doing this in a non-pressure situation, like our inner squads that we have on Thursdays or on Sundays or in these double headers that don't mean anything, right? The importance of letting guys learn how to be aggressive, and then through trial and error, trying to fine tune that art of running the bases or making a play, or, you know, and not being too hard on them to the point where they, you know, and every kid's a little bit different, but not being too hard on them to the point where they just kind of shut down, but giving them encouragement to grow and do better the next time. I think that has to happen, you know, when guys are, you know, continually striking out or continually making errors. Again, that doesn't happen when you know, don't play enough. You know, I was on a call a few years ago now about, I think we talked about this on a previous meeting, he was a former international cross-checker with the Reds, and named David Espinoza. And Chris, you met David in Florida last year when we went over to his facility when we were in Jupiter. But, you know, he was talking about how during this conversation, how here, you know, in the States, like, we're very, very, you know, get in the weight room, you know, let's work on skills, right? Let's make sure we're hitting. Let's make sure we're throwing our pins. Let's make sure we're doing all these things in like an isolated approach where that's all we're working on, versus, you know, going down to Venezuela, Dominican Republic, or Cuba. And they would do that stuff, but there would be such a big emphasis on going out there and competing and playing games, right? And different variations of the games too, right? Like, there's different games they would play, like forms of like stickball or whatever, but they'd also, you know, like, just engaging in that competition. And where they were lacking over there was on the opposite, was like getting in the weight room, getting, you know, that isolated, you know, fundamental development, right? So from a skills level standpoint, as far as like hitting, pitching, fielding, all that stuff, but they were really good baseball players, right? Maybe not the most physical as they were, you know, as they were growing up, getting to maybe 13, 14, 15 years old, but then that started to develop later. And, you know, there's got to be that balance. And what I worry about, I think, for our players right now is that we try to create that balance year round. You know, we obviously talking about the importance of strength development and all that stuff, but now I think we're hitting that point in the year where kids are going back to high school, and they're kind of shutting down a little bit, as far as like getting games and getting live at bats. And as a hitter, you know, losing consistent opportunities for at bats, I think that's detrimental long term. Obviously, you could take a weekend or 2 weekends off and be fine. But if you're taking months off at a time and you're going into the high school season and you're wondering why you're struggling with the bat, you know, how does that disrupt, you know, how does that disrupt you? How does that disrupt your success?
Are you
You go.
Well, I mean, I agree with 100%. Baseball is the one sport. I mean, I played football in college and baseball and in high school, but baseball is way harder because I could lift weights and run and just do that for 6 months and be a great football player. But if I only did that in baseball, I would suck. So baseball is a skill oriented sport. So playing games is the best way to do that. I mean, yeah, I just feel like, you know, like it's they all work together, kind of, you know, how you promote the facility. If they want to perform better on the field, a lot of it comes down to their athletic ability, their strength, the strength component, you know. So being stronger and faster is going to give you more success. You're going to perform better. So just as long as we're playing games and like it's all continually being a learning experience, I think they can get the aspect of the competition. They can get the aspect of instincts, you know, getting instincts, and then they can also get reps. But if we do it in a way where it's always a growth mindset and learning and development, like that's the most important thing, development, then I think the games are outstanding. I think we do a good job. I mean, we've been around a long time. We see these knuckleheads coaching and they're just rolling the balls out, dude. Oh, we play this many games. And then those kids may be more physical at 12 years old, but then by the time they're 14, 15, they get passed up because those games were just playing games and not games of development. I don't know. I think we do a pretty good job. I think that we always focus on the development aspect of it. And so, anyway, I think we do a pretty good job of that.
I do, too.
I think it's a good blend.
I love watching you work, Hank.
A good blend of playing and teaching them, and I'm not going to mention names, but Joe, Chris, I don't know if Joe told you this, but we had a situation where we had a player, we had our Thursday game, and he did some lessons. I'm not going to mention names, but anyway, so he had lessons for 2 hours, Chris, to hit. And then in the game, though, he didn't want to hit because he's like, well, I don't want to hit because I'm tired because I did a two-hour hitting lesson. See, that's what we want to get. We want to get away from that mindset. We train to be better players.
Yeah.
We don't train just to train.
Yeah.
And so it goes along with what you're saying. Like, dude, like it doesn't matter if I take hitting lessons, but if the feel of the game itself and different arm slots and change of speeds, all that, you can't mimic that anywhere. But I was just like, dude, the reason why you train is so that you can kick ass on the baseball field. It's not, I don't train just to train.
No, it's so he can put a video of his new PR in the cage off of his machine or whatever it is. And so mommy can say that little Timmy's doing great.
I just was like, but you know, he's not the only kid like that either. Like they think that the lesson or the training is that's the ultimate goal. And we got to remind him, like we strength train, we hit in the cage, we take ground balls so that we can perform better on the field. And Joe, you're right, dude. It's like we got to create scenarios too where compete. So like if they don't win at something, they feel shitty about it. They don't feel good about it. You know, when you have that mentality, well, I did my lesson. I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything, dude. It's about the game. So, I mean, it's a balance. Don't like overemphasize the result. Emphasize the process, but at the same time, the goal is to play winning baseball.
I think a big part of that is just understanding failure and how important it is in the whole side of development. Like the only reason that kid didn't want to go is because he was afraid of failing, right? Like what it comes down to, not hitting in that game was because he came up with excuses for him not to have success. And it's like in baseball, you're gonna have to play tired. Like you're gonna have to deal like that, and it's. You can't get better without failure. And I think a lot of parents need to do a better job of understanding that, where it's like understanding that if a kid has a bad game, that you don't need to necessarily rip them every time. Also, if you're paying coaches to coach your kid, then let them coach your kid. But just players and parents understanding that failure is a part of it. You're not going to get better without failing. And so like Joe said, it's stealing second base, trying to do it 20 times. If you get thrown out, then hey, what am I doing differently on the next one? Why did I get thrown out? And then what am I doing differently so I can be safe the next time? And sometimes that's, hey, I need to get in the lab and do speed training because I'm not fast enough to do this. Sometimes it was, hey, I got a bad jump, or understanding pitchers' times where you can't replicate that in other places. So I think the failure is good, and then you understand why, And then, like you said, you go and train for it, so you're better on the next one. But I got to go. I got to go do some training right now.
Oh, man. Can't play a game?
No. One-on-ones.
That's all good. Tony joined the call, so he'll take your spot.
Perfect. You're in, Tony. I set the bar low for you, buddy.
Tap in. So,
see you guys.
Right. Have a good day. Yeah, we don't need to be too much longer on this, Hank. But yeah, I mean, I think you and I we align in many ways on the field with what we teach, and I really appreciate that, especially for the players and the kids, because they don't get too many conflicting coaching ideas. I think that just comes from being around each other for as long as we have, and then and I remember that. Thanks for not mentioning any names for that kid you were talking about, because
yeah,
he listened to this and he heard that, he'd be so upset with me. But
yeah,
it's true though. I mean, there's lack of perspective here. There's lack of like practicality. Like, why are we training?
Yeah, exactly. That's like, I think that's the message that we have to get across to kids. Like, here's why you train. The reason why you train. Why did your parents drive here? Why did you like the why? And I know it's hard because they're teenagers. And so like that doesn't resonate with them like it would with an adult, but we got to always try our best. So those kids realize like, this is why we're doing this. Like, and they need to know why they're doing it, you know? And in the end, dude, like it is, it's like, they're trying to win baseball games. They're trying to play good baseball. Like, you know, as a parent too, like you put so much time into your kid's future, baseball, softball. You want them to be successful. So just to go out there and go through the motions is not okay.
I agree.
You know, and yeah. I think from a parent standpoint, that's what they're saying too, is they you know, like it's an investment in their kid. They want to see a return on their investment.
So, okay. All right. Let's talk about that for a second. So your, you know, unique perspective as a coach / dad of kids who were and are successful in their sports. Like, what was your approach as a father, like as a parent with your kids that you like, cause you have insight on what the longevity of the game looks like as a player or former player yourself. Right. So what approach did you take with, you know, your kids that allowed them to have the success that they have and have had over the years?
Well, the first thing is, my kids, when they were younger, I put them in multiple sports. I put them in multiple things. I'm talking about Jordan and Sydney. And so when I said, well, I put a bat in their hands, like when they were like 2 and 3 years old. So like young, like 2 years old, but a basketball and riding bikes and just being active. Right. I put them in tennis lessons. We did swim. We did all this stuff. And I think maybe because I was their dad and I was always around baseball and football and basketball, they kind of gravitated towards that. But once I realized they liked it, then my approach was, okay, if we're going to do this, we're going to be the best that we can at this. We're not just going to, it's not, yeah, I want to have fun, but if we're going to do something, let's be good at it.
So at what age did they start like specializing, right? Because that's the type of word where they just focus on one sport. At what age did that happen?
Well, I would say at 12 years old, that's kind of when they started specializing. When Sydney was 12 and Jordan was 12, they both either played Jordan played baseball and basketball. And then Sydney, she just started playing softball because just she didn't have the physical skill sets that Jordan had. So she played soccer and she was good, played a little basketball, but with her skill set, softball was the one thing she was really good at. Jordan kept playing football or basketball all the way up until his sophomore year in high school. But I mean, as far as I knew enough about baseball, like, okay, you're going to play these other sports, but we got to practice baseball like almost every day because it's the much harder sport. Okay. And so, and the good thing too is his mom and I were on the agreement that like, listen, you know, like if you're going to do this, we're going to be good at it. We're not just going to go through the motions. We're going to work hard. And I think that's that's a culture that the parents need to have. Like, listen, if we're going to do this, we're going to work hard. We're not going to be soft about it, you know, and you're going to try to be good at it. And we both decided that. And so we held the kids accountable in that way. Obviously, you know, he had to pull back sometimes. But we would, what I'm saying is, we try to put them in situations where they'd have the most success and they would have the best opportunity to keep getting better and like do something. And we always thought about college, like to at least play in college.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's from the parents have got to realize like, hey, if we're going to do this, we're going to be good at it. Cause we're like spending a lot of time and money. So,
well, okay. So that's your mentality too, though. So like you're a former athlete, your wife.
She was, athlete, right? Yeah, she was, yeah. She cheered or danced for the NBA. Yeah.
And, but like she had to be great at her craft as well. Like she understands the dedication to get to that, right?
Yes.
Most of our parents, for all, you know, just to, you know, be transparent, have never experienced anything like that. You know, so they're just kind of, you know, they're waking up every day and they want the best for their kids, as we all do, but they've never been a part of any type of roadmap that you know, leads to, you know, real athlete success personally. So they're only guiding their kids in a way that they know how to do it, right? And I'm thinking about some of our most talented players, right, that have a chance to possibly play professional baseball. And let's talk about, you know, let's talk about Jordan, right? Obviously, Sydney, All-American, Jordan, All-American. Let's talk about Jordan just because he plays baseball and where he's at. Not a very big kid, right? Like 5'10"? How tall is he? Did I lose you? Did you lose me?
Sorry. I don't know what happened here.
Can you hear me?
Give me a second.
All right. Well, so Jordan's not a very big kid. He's about 5'10". I don't think he's much bigger than that. And you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm just like my volume, but I'm good.
Okay. Can you hear me? Maybe. Okay. But he's 5'10". Not, you know, wasn't considered, you know, a draft guy out of high school. You know, and just to kind of tell his story a little bit, yeah, you know, played Division I baseball. He got to that point, but it was a really tough road for him getting there. But he's persistent. He was consistent, right? And that stemmed from, I believe, just the standards at home. Like,
yes,
be tough, work through adversity. It's not always going to be easy. You know, right now we have parents of kids that I think, again, they're probably more talented than Jordan was, from a skill standpoint. Like they can put the ball, you know, over a wall, you know, in any given swing, right? Jordan wasn't that kid going into high school, right? He was a good athlete and he could run well and he could play some defense, but he was a little bit undersized. With some of these kids that have really tremendous upside. And then I look at, you know, what the expectations are for them at home. Like, you know, and what their parents have them participate in from a weightlifting standpoint, even, you know, or, you know, is it conducive of creating good baseball players or good athletes? And that, I would say 75% of the time, at least 3/4 of the time, it's no. The answer is no. Going back to what you did with Jordan, just experiencing that as a coach, and I was super impressed at that time. And I was like, you know what? I really, you know, I like these people. Was you guys lived in the desert, right? You guys lived in Palm Desert. And Jordan would be at practice, you know, sometimes 3 times a week, an hour and a half away from home. You know, whether it was in Ontario, I mean, you name it, right? Like just anywhere, like in it wasn't just they would show up. It wasn't just Jordan wouldn't just show up to practice. He would show up with a great attitude in practice, like loving the game, loving, you know, being a great teammate, you know, having great energy, you know, having fun with the kids that were also there, right? And then what's interesting about that is like, you know, that's one of the more special groups we've been around, right? Now Jordan has a chance, you know, to play professional baseball for a long time if it continues on this path, right? He's with the White Sox organization now. He's doing really well. You know, not surprised based off of, I'm not surprised based off of how, you know, I saw that process play out for him, you know, beginning when I first saw him at 11 years old at BLD in Harupa Valley, or, you know, like that was, it's been really fun to watch. Also, he was a great dancer.
He was a state champion hip hop dancer. State champion? Yes. You didn't know that? Yeah. He was at 13, he was like the state champion hip hop. Yeah. For California, but
that I would venture to say, like, watching him, you know, crank out some of his, you know, dance moves back in the day when he was a kid, right? Like, that probably helped him.
Oh no, it definitely helped him without a doubt. But I mean, even when he took dance, though, his mom was like, "Okay, you're gonna go to practice." You know, like, there wasn't you know, like, hey, do you want to go to practice? No, you're going to go. And that's where you got to be a parent. What I see with some parents is they want to be their friend. They want to be the friends of the kids. Hey, what do you want to do? Are you feeling okay? No, dude, we're doing this. We signed up for this. This is what we're doing, and you're going to do it well. You know, and that's your job. So, you know, that's, I mean, to me, that was a non-negotiable growing up, too. And also, too, like, as a parent, like, and I played, so I realized, like, he had a lot of upside, you know. But getting back to what you were saying about Jordan, but that team that he played on, those guys had fun. Like, think about how much fun, like, Jordan, Cody, Ryan LaMasha, Gabe, all those guys on that team, you know, how much fun they had. But they also, dude, the parents were all very similar, where they were going to grind it out. But those kids had a lot of fun. They had a lot of success, but yeah, they had a lot of fun.
They're blue collar. I mean, that blue collar families, right?
Yeah, exactly. Where the parents expect, like, no, you're going to work hard at this, and you're not going to blame anyone else. You know, you're going to get it done. If you don't get it done, then you need to get better.
What one thing, though, and I want to touch on is, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of kids out there that work hard. I think that, like, that group of parents really trusted the process that was laid out in front of them. Like, the process, I mean, and for all intents and purposes, the process we laid out in front of them, like, this is what it's going to take for your 5'8" kid, right, yeah, to have a chance to play college baseball or and go beyond that, right? I remember having this conversation with Cody when he was in eighth grade, you know, at his house, and he was kind of chunky then. And I was like, and Cody Freeman, by the way, for those who don't know who I'm talking about, he was chunky. And we were having a conversation, and, like, just like, I was just telling him, like, hey, man, like, you're kind of getting a little chunky, dude. Like, maybe, you know, maybe lose a little bit of weight. I swear to God, that kid ate a salad for the next 6 months every single meal. Like, he took it to heart. Like, he really did. But then he, like, you know, he saw that he was getting more athletic, and then he, you know, really, you know, he saw.
I think instead of being like getting his feelings hurt, like, that's a big difference, too. Like, okay, like, I care about you, so I'm gonna tell you the truth. It's not, I'm trying to hurt your feelings. Like, you got to trust that what I'm telling you is for your improvement. It's not because I'm trying to break you down as a person. And I think the parents, like, they understood that, and they liked it, actually.
They did. That, again, that group of parents really welcomed that type of constructive criticism too. Like, they didn't, yeah, they didn't make excuses for their kids too much. Like, that, that's why that group was special, right? And that's why I think, you know, I have relationships still with most of those families. You know, they didn't make excuses. They didn't say, oh, well, little Johnny, you know, he had homework today, that's why he couldn't show up to practice. Well, what's funny is, when you go to college, you don't get to choose what you want to do.
Yeah.
You have to do both. Like, you don't get to choose whether you want to go to weightlifting at 6 a.m. because you have a test at 8:30 a.m. You don't.
Yeah, man. I mean, as a teacher, it's just amazing where you would hear these things. Well, I couldn't do this because I had this much work, or I couldn't go to practice, or I couldn't do your work because I had that work. And in my mind, that's part of it. If this is what you're signing up for, then you have to do it all. It's not like I'm going to do part of this and none of that.
Well, no,
I think today too, that's an issue where, you know, I know parents love their kids, but where they think that, oh, this is too hard for them. And, dude, you'd be surprised what kids can handle. Like, the being too hard stuff, that's what's going to make them better.
Yeah.
They got to go to practice, and they got to keep doing their work. Like, you do both. Like, it's not one or the other.
No. And that's to me, it's becoming a problem, I think, amongst like this demographic of players these days, which, you know, like if there's a family, a parent, a player that has like this aha moment and a light bulb goes off right now, you can use that to your advantage, because if you just eliminate those excuses, you're automatically going to elevate in many areas,
Yeah,
right?
you are. Just accept it. Like, this is what I do.
Yeah. And so the, you know, we have good, again, good talented players. Some kids that remind me of, you know, of the kids that were with, you know, Jordan's team, you know, coming through our program and our system. But, you know, there was a, we had a double, something comes to mind. We had a double header or something like two Sundays ago, right? And it's, you know, again, you know, competitive, but good learning environment. Want guys to get better, get at bats, all that stuff, right? Talking to this player earlier in the week, hey, you know, are you able to get to this, you know, this Sunday doubleheader, this workout or whatever we had going on that day? I think it was a doubleheader, inter squad, something. He goes, yeah, let me talk to my parents. I said, okay. That's on a Sunday. Friday or Saturday comes around. I think it was Saturday, and I'm like, hey, are you gonna be at the doubleheader tomorrow? He said, ah, oh, sorry, I got two projects due on Monday. I'm like, did you not know that this was gonna, you know, did you not, you had projects due Monday before I asked you this question? And did you not know that there was a doubleheader when I asked you, you know, on the, you know, previous Tuesday, Monday, right? Is there not a chance for you to manage your time differently to where you can execute both at a high level, right? Get the projects done, not wait till the last minute. And even if you do have to wait to the last minute, right? And, you know, you're a college athlete. I was a college athlete. There's times when you're up till 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get your work done because you know you got to do both if you want to participate. Now, here's what's interesting about that, right? They're going to say, parents are going to say, oh, well, they're just kids. They need their sleep and this and that and the other. Yes, I am aware. I am aware. But when they get to college and this is the first time they learn how to handle that workload and they can't handle it, where could we have helped them along in that process a little bit earlier? Because that's where I see guys struggle, right? Even just being at Chaffey College for, you know, intermittently for the last few years and watching that at the junior college level where guys, they don't know how to handle that type of workload and if that type of time.
They don't know how to handle things that are difficult.
Yeah.
It's hard. This is hard. Yeah, it's hard, I know, but it's going to make you better. Trust me, in the long run, it's going to benefit you more. That's the other message too we have to send is like, listen, yeah, it's hard, but you know, what are we doing this for? There's a bigger, it's bigger than what's happening right now. And you got to keep that in mind. Like there's a greater benefit to this hard work. You're going to see it. Just trust me. You know?
I think that a lot of times it may not even be the player, right? Most of the time now it's not the player. It is the parent that's kind of not even knowing, right? I'm not saying they're doing this on purpose, but they're not allowing their player to reach their potential because of one, they're not trusting the process that's laid out in front of them. Two, they're just probably lazy or they're tired.
Also, too, they like there's so many parents today just being a teacher is that so many parents are afraid to see their kids struggle. Like they can't handle watching their kids struggle and not realizing, like, you know what? They need to struggle because this is better for them in the long run. But so many parents don't want to see their kids have to struggle at all, and they just come swooping in to save them.
Yeah,
And that's,
I think different demographics of
yeah.
players and families have different different challenges. But I think I'm talking about the parent right now that just like you know they work 9 to 5, they come home and they don't want to do anything, so they're not going to take
Yeah,
their,
they're tired, man.
you
Like,
know,
no,
they're
for
tired.
sure. Like, you're tired.
So maybe that calls for like a life-changing decision for yourself, you know, like.
Well, I'll just tell you from personal experience, my other two daughters, they did not play sports, but they did competitive cheer, which was like a huge, huge requirement. I would drive 2 times a week or sometimes 3 to San Marcos from freaking Indio to take my daughters to San Marcos for a 3-hour cheer practice. And those girls would practice for hours, hours, way more than baseball. But it's the decision that the parents made and said, you know what, this is what we're doing, and this is what's part of it. And it's, and yeah, it's hard, but
Yeah, but you can make it. You can make it fun too. You know, you can make it fun. I mean, it's like the drive. And to me, you know, being in the car with my kids is like the one time you get a chance to really communicate with them with very little distraction.
True.
So, you know, you can make it a very productive time, even if you are making that drive, right? So, you know, and for instance, like we have one family, you know, of players that would come down almost, well, I wouldn't say every week, but several times a month. And now beginning in the fall, they are going to be coming down every week, every single week, you know, from like almost a 5-hour drive to spend a couple days a week here, get training, get work in, go back home. From, you know, Nevada, right? And, you know, again, not saying names, but they're coming down every single week to participate in that. We can't get kids to go 15 minutes from their house, right, for whatever reason, to get to extra training or extra work.
Yeah.
Right. And that, to me, like, that just goes to show, like, yes, everybody has 24 hours in the day, but how many excuses are you making to not allow yourself to?
Well, that's what me and Karen said. We go, if we're going to do this, we're going to be good at it. And we know that there's sacrifice. And we're the parent, and this, and you, and we're the parent. You're the kid, and this is what you're doing. Like, don't cry about it because it's not going to matter. This is what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, and it's cool. I mean, Tony hasn't chimed in, right? But I don't expect him to at this point. But you know, his family's kind of the same way. Like, his dad is a coach. His dad's an educator. You know, and they, you know, they were. You know, they were brought up in a household where, you know, they had to be consistent, you know, with whatever they did. You know, they had to be, like, there was no excuses not to be. And, you know, I'm good friends with his dad as well. I've coached with his dad as well. And again, those principles align really well. And there's a reason why, you know, Tony has had success. He played a long time. Played like 17 years at Concordia, and his brother has had success, and you know, their sister's gonna, you know, be successful.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly, there's a consistent pattern happening.
Yeah, but
they're good people.
Yeah, and but they bought into that process as a player. And you know, we are fortunate to have these same people that were players at one point, and you and Bam and all these guys that were players at one point that went through this process, that trusted that process. And I would say that our players and families are super fortunate right now that they can, that they're around these guys that were there for that as players. And they saw success in it, and now they can come back and relay that information from different perspective.
They're so lucky, dude, to understand the grind.
The grind, got to embrace it.
You do, man. I mean, yeah, I don't do it anymore. But when I did CrossFit and I was a competitor doing that, it's like you gotta like it sucks, dude. But you gotta accept the suck. It sucks. But dude, like, let's go.
But I almost think it's like, you know, like the typical person, right? The hardest part is getting to the gym. Like, once you're there, it's easy, right?
Yeah,
I think the hardest part for many of our players and families is like actually getting up, getting ready, going to where they need to get to. Like, that, I believe, is the biggest hurdle they need to overcome.
And like you said, they're working too, and they have jobs and so forth. So, but I honestly, I look back at doing all that, and like, it was probably the funnest time to be able to, you know, take your kid when they're 10 years old or whatever, and you're tired as hell, but you go there, you get to watch them play. Dude, I wouldn't take that back for anything.
Yeah.
Like driving back home, like you said, I'd have Jordan and Johnny. We'd always stop by freaking Panda Express on the way home, just hearing those guys talking and just BSing with them. It was a good time.
Yeah. It was fun being around those kids. And it's not a coincidence that they're, you know, the majority of those players are still playing today.
Yeah,
and at the highest level.
That's a good point. That's what you got to figure out. Like, that, isn't that crazy? Like, how many of those kids on that team, how long they played baseball for? Like, that's kind of unique. Like, what was it? Well, I mean, yeah, like, that's the magic sauce.
I believe that they really bought into the process that was laid in front of them. So if we told them, I mean, I hate to say it like this, if we told them to do something, right, they would typically do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, you know, tell them to jump and they say how high, but in many ways they'd be like, okay, well, how much of that do we need to do? Like, if we need to go train, how many times do we need to do that? And then you'd
yeah.
two to three, and then they would do it, you know. Or, you know, who's the pitching guy? This guy. Okay. Then they would do it. Like, there was a,
you know, difference. And also too, though, like the Lamashas, for example, they'd be like, listen, you better do what they're telling you, because you're not going to like what happens at home if you don't. I mean, in the end too, that's, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, but that, those are tough families. Those are tough families and tough kids. And that's why, again, you know.
Yeah, like, it's buying into the system, like you said. But I mean, that is where, think about that. Think about how many guys on the team were very, very successful and played for a long time. That's, it's pretty, it's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
For just one team and one group of guys.
Well, that was the one that Jordan was a part of, but it happened again in 2018. It happened.
Yeah.
It happened, or it happened in 2017. It happens again in 2020. It happened again. You know what I mean? Like, it happened again in 2022. It's going to happen again, right? For these guys coming up, it's just how quickly can we get players to buy in? And I mean, yeah, we're talking to CBA families and players right now, but this is obviously can be attributed to anybody outside of our organization, right? How quickly can you buy into a process that's going to help you be successful sooner?
Yeah.
You know, help you be more successful sooner and then have more consistent success. And doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect at any point in time, or doesn't mean that you're not going to experience failure, because you're always going to. Every single day you're going to experience failure in baseball, right? And so just taking that with a grain of salt, but
yeah,
quickly can you buy into that process and commit to it? So, you know, like, we all know that hard work gets you places, but then now it's like, okay, are you going to actually do the work? Right. And so that's where, you know, as parents, we have to be better. We have to be better in, you know, not saying, oh, well, that's an hour drive. I mean, it's called travel baseball for a reason.
Exactly. I say that.
You know, like, if you wanted to play rec ball.
Can I tell you too, from doing a lot of high school baseball and in my time in Orange County, and even in the desert, what I see as well is why it's beneficial to travel and play around other players. Because when you're always playing around the same group of guys, kids, they become way too comfortable. They rank themselves like, well, I'm better than these guys, so it doesn't matter. And I think going out and playing outside of your area with different players is so good, because now you get to compare yourself as a player to others. And you're like, wow, I'm not that good as I thought I was. And, you know, they have to prove themselves more. And that for my son, Jordan, that was like the best thing. That's more why I brought him over the mountain, is because in his group, he was really good. But I'm like, this isn't that good of baseball. Yeah, he's good here, but let's go search out, you know, that same mentality of, if we're going to do this, let's be as good as we can be. And it's good for them too, because, you know, the thing about, you know, you want your kids, when they grow up, you want them to be adjusted and then they can handle difficulty and still grow and be, you know, and perform. So when you put them in these situations where they're around at different players or in different place, you have all these variables that they're not used to, and they're still performing and having success. That's going to make them way better later on to deal with difficulty as a grown person. So I think the travel ball, that part is like really good. It's really good for them.
Yeah. And I've seen the same thing, right? Like, kids in Orange County are very, very different, brought up very different than kids from the Inland Empire, and very different than kids in the desert, right? So, but, you know, when you get to be around different players and higher competition in different areas, are really, I think it does give a measuring stick of where you're at.
Yes.
And you could take that home and be like, okay, well, this kid in Orange County is really, really good, right? I'm one of the best in my area, but this guy might be better than me. What is he doing differently that I can?
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you can learn from each other. I think that the relationship building part of that is awesome. You know, again, with Jordan's team, right? Those kids were kind of from all over, would congregate for practice at a centralized location most of the time, and they still have relationships with each other
today. Yeah,
right. And I think that's really, you know, very special, you know. And I don't think that you get that everywhere. Not saying it doesn't happen.
You know, I mean, and also, like, I know it's kind of far ahead, but I've told kids, I'm like, listen, you may think you're good in your area, but if you're going to play college baseball, that's not, you're competing against all these kids for a scholarship, like kids in many faraway places. So it's good to get an idea of where you stand with these other people. I mean, that's the reality of it too. If you want to play college baseball, you're not competing against the people in Palm Desert or Fontana. You're competing against everybody in California or other states.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, we can get into more topics about surrounding that as well. But I mean,
in the end, like, you know, let's face it, when a kid's in high school playing baseball at this level, you know, they want to play college. But anyway, I'm just trying to give another perspective of what the end game is.
Okay, so my question to you, right? Let's say you're a recruiter. I know you haven't been in college baseball for a while, but you're recruiting a kid. Are you recruiting? And okay, I honestly, I don't even think I know the answer to this, but everybody's different. Are you recruiting, if you had to pick one, a really good athlete who struggles at the game of baseball, or a really good baseball player who's not very good athletically? You got to pick one. Gun to your head.
I would pick the kid that's not as good athletically, but he's a good baseball player and he has like other people skills.
Why is that?
Because at the college level, my experience at the college level from what I've seen and just coaching a little bit of the college level is that college, especially at the Division I level, is a pretty much a grind. Like as a Division I player, I'd had class at 7. I had to be done by noon. We had lunch. We had weight from 1 to 3. We'd have practice from 3 to 6, like almost every day. And so what I'm saying is a kid that can handle all that difficulty and be a good baseball, I feel like, because in the end, baseball is a very much a mental sport. So the kid that's just a good athlete but doesn't have that mental toughness, I don't know how he's going to do, because I think that grind and that responsibility, they're not going to handle it well. And they're not going to – I mean, a case in point would be like when Jordan – you know, I just use my son as an example. But when he first went to Santa Barbara, there was a higher-ranked shortstop from Tesoro High School that was going to Santa Barbara at the same time as well. Well, when they got to campus, check is like, listen, you're not leaving campus. This is what you're doing. You got to do this, 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 and this, and this, this. Well, that kid was really good, but he was used to doing what he wanted. No one really like put rules on him because he was that good. Well, when he got to campus, he couldn't handle the rules. And basically what happened was is check says you can't leave campus on the weekend. And he was leaving on campus on the weekend. And check says, listen, either you stop or you're off the team. The kid's like, well, I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah. They don't know how to buy in. They don't know how to buy into a process.
But what I'm saying, like, it was too much. It was like you're asking me to do too much. This is too difficult. Whereas the other kids, they're like, yeah, this is hard, but I'm used to this. I can handle it.
They're able to adapt. Yeah.
Yeah. But the kid that's just a good athlete that just goes out and performs, I mean, there's other players, and I don't want to throw people under the bus, but there's a
throw
kid.
Throw them all under the bus, Hank. Throw them under the bus.
Well, I mean, okay, he was a great kid, Dean. Dean was a great kid, right? Oh, my God. What's
don't
his name?
Don't throw him under the bus.
I'm not going to throw him under the bus. Anyway, what I'm saying, I'm not throwing him under the bus. All I'm saying, he was a great player. He had all the skill set. And I've seen other players the same way. But then when they get there, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. And they end up not playing anymore. So.
Yeah, we've all seen
it. So going back to your question, I would pick the kid that's a little bit mentally tougher, maybe isn't the athlete, but I know that they can handle, because baseball, more than any other sport, I think, is way more mental.
Yeah. No, way more mental. So this meeting, this talk started at, are we training more, playing more? And I think the moral of this story is train more, play more.
Like, yeah, it is. Like they go hand in hand, but like, what's the environment? What's the playing environment? And that's where the coaches have to set that tone, where you're playing, so you're getting the pressure of what it means to play in a game, but at the same time, the coach is directing the play so that the player is getting better and they're developing in a positive direction.
Well, that's the formula. So, okay. So if we think in mathematical terms, right, on what a formula is, right, if you're removing a variable from the formula, you get a completely different result, right?
Yeah.
So if we're thinking about the formula to achieve, you know, success in your sport, and specifically baseball for the people that are, for our listenership, say it again, right?
All right.
For the listenership, right? To achieve that result, right, you have to factor in all the variables. You have to factor in you have to check all the boxes to get to that point. And it's an enjoyable process once you buy in. You just got to embrace that. It's just different than what most people are used to, you know? So, but yeah, I don't think we need to spend, I mean, this is a lot longer than we normally spend on a meeting, but I love talking baseball with you, Hank. It's fun.
I would just say, like, it's important in my experience to make practices like games, but make it fun, like make it competitive so that there's like, they're trying, you know, and there's.
Well, competitiveness is the name of the game, right? It's hard to be successful in anything if you're not going to.
Exactly.
So
you got to want to win.
And the thing about that is, like, it's not just in baseball or sports. Like, you're competing for jobs at some point in life, you know? You know, and then there's, you know, I've spent time with people this last weekend that aren't competitive, and they have low paying jobs where they're absolutely miserable. And, you know, some of these are family members, and I feel badly for them, but that's the mindset and the thought process that they've adopted and haven't been able to get out of, you know? So, and they're older, which sucks, you know? So yeah,
no judging here, but yeah, it all translates.
We can judge off of the call.
It all translates.
All of it translates. Gotta be competitive.
It does. It translates.
Gotta wake up with purpose, intent.
Yep.
Long, intent. long productive days. 6 a.m. weights and 8 p.m. study hall. You know, like that's and everything in between. That's what college baseball is about, right?
You know? Yeah. Get the strength coach that knocked on your door at 5:30 in the morning with the University of Michigan saying, all right, you need to make up a workout you missed on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay, Iron Mike, let's go.
Iron Mike.
His name, Iron Mike, the strength coach.
Yeah, I could talk to you about ours. He's scary too. So, all right. Well, I think that's long enough for today. Tony, thanks for listening in. Chris isn't on the call anymore, but thanks for contributing. And we do this pretty much every Monday morning. Probably not next Monday, just because it's Labor Day. So maybe Tuesday, depending on what that schedule looks like for us at the facility. But yeah, no, thanks for coming around, Hank. I feel the passion.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I like. I want to say more, but
it's every day if you want to.
I want to go exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you guys have a great day. Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Hank.
All right, man.
Bye.